Jema. So there are some terms which there is a need to clarify to our understanding, because it helps us to not just use terms rightly, that's the least of the thing, but to understand the processes, dynamic elements of yoga. So there are some terms we use interchangeably, especially, say, for example, with regard to faith. So let's take faith. So there are several terms we use as if they are synonymous, like belief, faith, trust, confidence. Any other term? Somebody can suggest. So now, what are these terms? Belief invariably indicates it's a mental thing. Meaning thereby, when I say I believe in Christ as God, I believe in Christianity, what it means is that now when I say I believe in Christianity, all that has been said there, I accept it as an axiomatic belief in the mind, and then it becomes like something rigid, dogmatic. I believe in Mother and Sri Aurobindo. So whatever Mother and Sri Aurobindo have said is for me, everything is correct and perfect, which is a good attitude, but that is still in the mind. The problem with mind is, mind tends to immediately crystallize beliefs. Belief, it's all right, but it crystallizes into dogma. Dogma crystallizes itself into fundamentalism. So the line becomes very thin. For example, if I say that I believe in all that Mother and Sri Aurobindo have said, so Mother and Sri Aurobindo have used the word supramental. Now, the mother at one place, she says something very interesting. She says that, Sri Aurobindo used the word supramental, you can use the word divine, now in the largest sense. But why she is saying that word divine, why Sri Aurobindo used the word supramental? Because the word divine, we have used in 100 ways. So supramental is, we can say, the original, the divine in all his splendor, in his creatrix consciousness, the creator. Now creator becomes a very easily relatable word. But he is creator without veils. When we use the word creator, because we are seeing the creator with the lens of the mind, ignorance, we put our own ideas. But when we use the word supramental, it means the creator in all his original splendor. So Sri Aurobindo has used it like that, beyond the veils of the mind. When there are no veils and you meet God, what does he feel like? What does he look like? How does he act? So that's why he has used a word, because he's communicating. But equally, when we use the word creator in his original splendor, so similarly we'll see there are many things which come when we are not stuck to a belief. Belief becomes rigid over a period of time. Different people will relate to Mother and Sri Aurobindo in different ways. We have to understand it. So long as the fundamental premise is that they are not being not only disrespectful, especially within the area of the ashram, what they do outside is their business, their problem. So then belief, when it becomes a dogma, when I say there is no other approach, no other way. There is a very interesting paragraph or a letter of note of the mother. When somebody said, I explained like this. She said, it's very good that you explained like this. But if you think this is the only way to explain what Sri Aurobindo said, then you are beginning to form a religion. So if I say, no, I am only right. This is the beauty, because he is infinite. He may express something which has remained unexpressed in one way and it comes in another way. So we have to be very careful that beliefs are in a mind which is very narrow. If the mind is very wide, then fine. But if the mind is very narrow, then belief can easily go into dogma. Dogma can easily go into fundamentalism. Another problem with belief is, when we believe, then in real life, when we see a contradiction to what we believe in. For example, there are people who say everything that is done by the mother. They say this in the ashram also. Now, somebody commits suicide. What do you say? Mother made him commit suicide? You will end up saying like that. Somebody suddenly dies a very unnatural death. Drowns. Something happens. So this idea that everything is done by the mother is true, and yet if you hold it as a belief system, you will see that there are several apparently contradictory things happening around you. Now what happens when you observe them? Either the mind assumes a very rigid position. For example, there are people who said, sometime back I heard, when somebody who, there was a fight between two groups, intellectual fight. So somebody from one group died. So what went around was, mother has punished. Mother has said she never punishes. Mother says, don't quote me. She has said this. Says people, when they quote me and commit stupidities, like for example, one famous instance which I keep quoting, that how belief, we are just talking of belief. Belief can become very enlightened sometimes, unenlightened. So there was this lady, she says, who was, everybody respected her. But when she became friends with a man, they started shunning her. All of them left her. And mother says, when these things happen outside, I understand. But when people do it here, I am shocked. Shocked at whom? Not the lady. At the people. She says, and what is worse is they quote me. And quote me and say that mother said this, mother said that, adding one stupidity to another. And then she says, those who are still in that social life are not ready for the spiritual life. But what does belief do? For example, belief. Vegetarianism is the only way to live. And then you come to the ashram. And if you get a wind that eggs are served or in corner house, chicken is given. Now comes a challenge. So how do you do this? You start tweaking, twisting, all kinds of things. Because belief is like that. It's a structure. It's a formation. It has its place in the beginning, but belief cannot take you through the journey of yoga because you will be challenged at so many instances. So, deeper than belief is faith. Faith is from the soul. Belief is of the mind, faith is in the soul. Faith simply says, I know that the mother and Sri Aurobindo are divine. Why do you know? Belief will say, you know, why? Because, you know, this miracle happened, that miracle happened. What happens with belief? You are basing it on miracle. Huh? One day when it will not happen. Today only somebody was telling me. Whenever I think something, it happens. But you know, somehow I have a problem of money and mother is not giving me money. This is how belief operates. Yeah, belief. Now belief gets into trouble. But faith will say, doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what others are doing or not doing. I know that they are divine. I have faith in Mother and Sri Aurobindo. I have faith in the path. I have faith that I have been called to this path and hence I will arrive. I have faith in the destiny. So this is what faith does. Faith is not a structure of the mind. Faith throws a light. Whenever something happens, you will begin to see the divine hand in it. It's called as Kalyana Shraddha. Faith has this. Faith is like a torchlight. Belief is like a structure. This thought, that thought, this is how it should be, that is how it should be. And those who come with belief, they are unable to walk very far on the path. Because invariably you will meet contradictions. But those who have the faith, anything happens, that light will say, oh, thank God. Oh, wow, wonderful. Jai Ma, thank you, Mother. Thank you for all the ordeals. Thank you for all that you have given. Thank you for all that you have taken away. Because faith will show us. So faith is inbuilt within the soul. Faith is the stuff of the soul. How does the soul realize what it is meant to realize? We talked about the soul. There are two elements of the soul. One which is central being, Jivatma, with the Paramatma always. And that aspect which has entered into this journey of evolution. This aspect of Jivatma which enters. This becomes the psychic being. How does it end up? Because it has faith that this is what it is meant to become. All the contradictions of the world cannot take it away. It knows. And why it knows, why it has that knowledge, as Shivinda puts it very beautifully, if you tell a man who is imbued with faith that how do you know that Mother and Sri Aurobindo are God? You say, I know it. You know, you will not go about giving proofs. You may, for the joy of it, for the sake of it. But you don't need to. Faith knows that there is God. You don't need to prove it. Then it undertakes the journey. Because without faith, you cannot undertake the journey. And such a great endeavor, where at every step you have a challenge. So faith is belongs to the soul, belief of the mind. This part is clear. Then trust. So faith should be added with trust. Now, if I have faith, Mother and Sri Aurobindo are divine. What does trust imply? Therefore, whenever I go to them with my prayer, they will hear it. I trust that whatever they will do, they know the best for me. Trust. And then with trust comes confidence. Confidence means their grace is infinite. And if she wills, nothing is impossible. And if it is not happening, that means she knows best. It will not say, no, how, what will mother do? People who say, what will mother do? If you don't do this, if you don't do that, what will mother do? That means there is lack of confidence in the grace. They have put conditions, not the divine mother. And mother says this in one of her conversations. She says, you know why people, all of you feel besieged by your difficulties? Because you don't have faith in the grace. You don't have confidence in the grace. Whereas somebody who has confidence in the grace, he will know that even if I fall 10,000 times, of course he will keep doing his own effort. It's not about being indolent. But he has the confidence that eventually she will take me out. Eventually, satyameva jayate, truth will triumph, no matter what. So that is called confidence. So we have belief, which is mental. Faith belongs to the soul. Trust, along with the soul, this faith takes a very personal form. That yes, I trust the mother. I trust that what Sri Aurobindo has written. Actually, from trust even obedience comes. They have said like this. And confidence is something still deeper connect. That well, mother knows, I have prayed to her, I have told her, for her grace, nothing is impossible. It requires a certain childlike attitude. Like a child, when it says it's papa, mama, child has confidence, my dad, my mom can do anything in the world. So that childlike state brings the confidence. So these are the four aspects of faith. Any other question with regard to this faith you were saying?
Blind faith.
Blind faith. Faith by nature is blind. That's how Sri Aurobindo says. Sri Ramakrishna went on to say that if it won't be faith if it is not blind. But there is a little distinction. There is a kind of blind faith which is unillumined. There is a kind of blind faith which is illumined. So what is, there is a kind of blind faith, it can ask for an impossible miracle. Now, what I mean by an impossible miracle, that well, tomorrow I am going to wake up and my problem will be gone forever. Now, this kind of a faith begins to change into superstition. But blind faith of an illumined kind, it will happen. When it will happen, how it will happen, I will give God time and his way to do it. And he will do it. Even if it doesn't happen in a whole lifetime, you don't lose that faith. So there is a very thin line, but basically faith by its nature is blind. If there is nothing like a rational faith that you reason out, then it is a belief. Reasoned acceptance is belief. So line is very thin. Blind faith can lead to problems. For example, people say, I have blind faith in Christ. And then if somebody has blind faith in someone else, you may take it that, no, my faith is right. So one has to be careful. There is an unenlightened kind of blind faith and there is an illumined kind of blind faith. Illumined faith means it understand that just as I have blind faith in the mother and Sri Aurobindo, others have a right to have blind faith in X, Y, Z or not to have any kind of belief. It's all right. So it otherwise bhakti ka egoism of the bhakta, that can be also equally dangerous. There is a blind faith which leads to that. Or sometimes we blind faith can take this term that, okay, somebody is going, okay, you just keep giving a blessing packet or a flower, or you say, if you eat this, you'll be fine. Now, that blind faith, because you are yognist, it's okay, but it doesn't apply that you will give flowers to everybody and say, take this flower and you'll be fine. You give this flower at samadhi, you will start getting money. Now, that blind faith is unillumined, because you are trying to trespass the cosmic law. Meaning thereby, you are making a cult of the kind which we see in a kind of Christian denomination, that if you believe in Christ, you are redeemed. Or if you believe in Muhammad, you are redeemed. Now, that is dangerous. Whereas faith that there is the divine and you have that faith, this faith if you have, you will be redeemed. But if you start, because blind faith leads to conversions, it leads to these kind of stories. People start doing these kind of things that, okay, I am giving you this, you will be all right. So these are not things which are healthy. And that's how Sri Aurobindo and the mother have drawn a line. That you must understand the difference is very subtle. It will be blind, faith by its nature. But one must know that difference where blind faith is bordering onto superstition. And another where blind faith is illumined. Enlightened faith means they are divine. They will do in their own time, in their own way. Even if they don't do, they know best. So that line should be always respected. Divine is not compelled to do the way just because I have faith. I am sitting on fasting for half a day. You must show yourself to me. I have blind faith that if I don't eat, you will end up revealing. This is obviously nonsense. I have blind faith. Anybody can start having that kind of blind faith. Yeah. Yes, that's what. Because it's not really faith. You have put conditions. You have put conditions unknowingly. Yes, that grip of power. You have put like, same thing, like people say, oh, you take this blessing packet, you'll be alright tomorrow. Now you are trying to put conditions tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Who are you to decide when the divine will do or not do and what is best for the person? Faith is blind in this sense that yes, you don't have a proof, anything, but you know it's the divine. But it doesn't put conditions. And invariably when people who do these things, unillumined blind faith, visit that shrine. People come here because somebody has told, samadhi par chale jao, matha deke a jao, you'll be fine. Now that's an unillumined blind faith. It gives rise to superstition. Mother and Sri Aurobindo would often say, no, don't come if you are mentally deranged. They would say no. Because you have to understand the dynamics of the divine working, how it happens. Arjuna had blind faith in Sri Krishna. And yet you see so much happen. So blind faith doesn't mean putting conditions, as you rightly said. It's a kind of ambition, superstitiousness. You put conditions and want the divine to compel to fulfill it because you have blind faith. It's from the vital you are catching it. True faith is always of the soul. When the vital catches it, then blind faith turns into superstition and all kinds of things. Gemma.